नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तथा यदस्मिन् भव ईश जीवास् पात्रयेनाभिहिता न शर्म आत्मान् लभन्ते भगवान् स्थवङ्गे शायं सविद्यां मत आश्रयेम ओ फादर O Lord, O Personality of Godhead, the living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by the three kinds of miseries. Therefore, they take shelter of the shade of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge, and we also take shelter of them. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. The way of devotional service is neither sentimental nor mundane. It is the path of reality, by which the living entity can attain transcendental happiness of being freed from the three kinds of material miseries. Miseries arising from the body and mind, from other living entities, and from natural disturbances. Everyone who is conditioned by material existence, whether he be a man or beast or demigod or bird, must suffer from adiapnaka, bodily or mental pains, adibhautika, pains, those offered by living creatures, and adidaivaka pains, those due to supernatural disturbances. His happiness is nothing but a hard struggle to get free from the miseries of conditional life. But there is only one way he can be rescued, and that is by accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. The argument that unless one has proper knowledge, one cannot be freed from material miseries is undoubtedly true. But because the lotus feet of the Lord are full of transcendental knowledge, acceptance of his lotus feet completes that necessity. We have already discussed this point in the first canto. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojataha janayatya syuvairagyam jnanam sayadahitakam. There is no want of knowledge in the devotional service of Vasudeva, the Personality of Godhead. He, the Lord, personally takes charge of dissipating the darkness of ignorance from the heart of a devotee. He confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Empiric philosophical speculation cannot give one relief from the threefold miseries of material existence. Simply to endeavor for knowledge without devoting oneself to the Lord, it's a waste of valuable time.
Hare Krishna. Very grateful to be in this holy place with us. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 40. Herein, the devas, the demigods, are offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. As we are aware, the demigods are the exalted, empowered administrators of the various functions of the universe. The length of their life span, the depth of their intelligence, the power of their abilities, both to execute as well as to administrate, is inconceivable beyond our human capacity. Because they don't need scientific research. Humans, we need scientific research to try to understand the universe and how things work. The demigods are they're practically born with all those understandings. We're just trying to figure out what they're doing to a large extent on behalf of Krishna. So here the demigods are sharing from their perspective, their realization of what real happiness is and how to achieve it. They are expressing how these threefold miseries within the entire material existence, they prevent a person from having any true happiness. Krishna tells in Gita Dukalayam Bhashashvata that this material world is a place of misery. And even the pleasures and happiness of the material world are actually just different flavors of misery. Because there's some pleasure, we become attached to it, but it's never enough. And it will end. By the power of time, everything is taken away from us. And within that little span of time, miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural forces are impending in every situation. These threefold miseries can ruin a happy moment at any moment. Because to a great extent, they're simply beyond our control. And the demigods are saying these threefold miseries are beyond their control. Every one of the demigods is a very powerful Ishvara. They're controllers. But mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sachidachana. Krishna is the controller of material nature. And even the demigods are under that control. So to vivek, or to have the power of discrimination, to actually be constantly aware of what is Brahman, what is eternal, Aham Brahmasmi. And what is this jagat? What is this creation, which is ever-changing and which is always inherently miserable? That knowledge on the path of Jnana Yoga is the way of liberating oneself from the miseries of material existence. To have that conviction that yes, material life is inherently full of misery. That's the first principle of jnana. And why? Because of these adiatmakadi, daivakadi, bhautika, because of the kala influence, the influence of time. It should be carefully. And how matter is always changing under the influence of time. Nothing is stagnant. And that change, really, all it is just transformation and change. But when we identify with those transformations and stages, we identify them as birth, old age, disease, death. Srila Prabhupada explains there's 6 basic transformations that takes place in any living being, in all species.
There's birth.
They be from eggs or from perspiration or from the embryo of another. Those are details, but there's birth. And then for some time, we grow. And then we sustain ourselves for a while. And then we begin to dwindle. The body starts falling apart. And then there's some disease, old age, and then death. Whether a human or any of these flowers, here at Govardhan Eco Village, we see so many flowers. And we see it right before our eyes. When we see a flower first coming out of the ground, and then we see it's a bud, and then we see it gradually unfolds and it becomes fully blossomed, and then we see it starts withering and withering and withering until it's dead. So, do you have funerals for each flower? Do you have condolence meetings? But it's actually going through the exact same transformations as humans will. And the cows go through it, and the donkeys, and the goats, and the sheep, and even the snakes that you don't really see so many times. Every tree. So because we identify so much that this is me, we identify so much that these are my friends, these are my loved ones, it has a very, very deep effect on us. But actually, it's just the process of nature taking place, just transformation. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. There is no such thing as death for the soul. Actually, there's no such thing as death. Matter is always just transforming into different stages. And the Atma that is living within matter is just passing through. But when we identify with matter, then the threefold miseries and the influence of time causes suffering. And why do we identify with matter? Because the nature of the Atma, or the soul, is ananda, satchit ananda. We're eternally full of knowledge and by nature happy. That happiness is realizing our own eternal identity in relationship to Krishna. But because we've forgotten that relationship with Krishna, we have to find pleasure somewhere. So we try to find pleasure in matter. And in order to find pleasure within matter, we have to have this body to experience it, and the 5 senses, and the mind, 6th sense. And because we're looking for that love for Krishna ultimately, but we've forgotten it, along with the physical pleasures, we're looking for loving relationships, so we seek it in other humans, in other living beings. But because we're identifying with their bodies, we have to suffer. Just like identifying with our body. When we love this body, which is the source of our material happiness, we have to suffer because of its frailties and vulnerabilities. And when we identify and repose our love in another person's physical body, then we suffer as an extension with their miseries, with their old age, and with their death. So, jnana is to separate truth from illusion.
Prakriti is the ever-changing material existence. And Aham Brahmasmi, I am eternal. Srila Prabhupada is citing Vidura, Maitreya, discussion where the demigods are speaking. And they are telling that ultimately, however much knowledge or jnana one may acquire, this material existence is inconceivable. And Krishna, Bhagavan, who is the source of material existence, is inconceivable. Bahunam janmanamante jnanabhamam parpate vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sutta. After many, many, many births acquiring deeper, higher knowledge, when one finally comes to the real conclusion, one surrenders to Vasudeva. One takes shelter of Vasudeva. But this material existence is very difficult to overcome. It is all power. It's Krishna's energy. But one who takes shelter of me can cross without. So this is the ultimate conclusion of yoga, the ultimate conclusion of cultivation of knowledge or jnana. And it's a simple process. When we take shelter of Krishna, the goal and the results of all other spiritual, yoga, religious processes are achieved in its fullness. Because Krishna takes charge of us. There is that beautiful verse that Srila Prabhupada loves to cite, that material existence is like an ocean. There has never been, in our modern history at least, anyone who could swim across the ocean. Yes? But this material existence, it is not just an ocean. There's the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean. These are just like little puddles of water. It's Bhava Sagar, this ocean of material existence is practically unlimited. No one can cross it by themselves. The one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, by Krishna's grace, who's the controller of all controllers, he reduces the quantity of water in that ocean to the amount contained in the hoofprint of a cat. Out here at Govardhan Eco Village, Goshala, you can actually go and study the hoof printing. We don't even take note of them. I was just there. Bhaktivinoda Purna Maharaj is holding this. We're just stepping over in the dust hundreds of hoof prints of dust. We didn't even notice. That is Krishna's power. Krishna has achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. To one who is in illusion, he expands that illusion to an unlimited ocean. To one who surrenders to him, he reduces it to the amount of water in the hoofprint of the cat. Because Krishna is Vedaham Samadita Nivarakamanavita. He knows everything. He knows past, present, future. Vedaishtra saravera hameva vidyogidanti kriteva vadeva chaha. He's the compiler of the Vedas. He's the knower of the Vedas. All the Vedas he's to be known. Krishna knows everything. Krishna, by his mere expansion and expansion and expansion, Krishna expands as Baladeva,
Baladev expansions the chapter of Yuha, Prajumana, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, and Vasudev. Shankarshan expands as Narayan. Narayan expands as a secondary Chaturvyuha. Shankarshan in that forms of the Lord expands as Karanadakshayavish. And Mahavishnu, simply by his breathing, all the universes are created. And simply by his glance, he impregnates every species of life in each of these universes. That is Mahavishnu. And we read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahavishnu, he stole those little children, the babies, so that Arjuna and Krishna would come because he wanted the darshan of Krishna. He is Krishna, but still, he has his own personality, although he's Krishna. And he knows that Krishna is his source, and he knows he is Krishna, but still Krishna is his source. And he wants to see the beauty of Krishna. Those powerful eyes that create everything in material existence are yearning to see Krishna. Who's his very self. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Krishna sees himself in a pillar made of jewels, he's so attracted to his own form. It gives him such happiness. He's thinking that the only person who really understands how beautiful I am and can taste the sweetness of my form is Sri Radha. I want to have her mood so I could really understand how beautiful and what happiness I give her. Because the happiness that she experiences when she sees me is greater than any happiness I can comprehend. So that's Krishna. He's all-knowing. And yes, it is according to our capacity, we should try to cultivate this transcendental knowledge. But if we surrender to Krishna, if we take shelter of him, he gives us everything. Ananyas chintayantumam yojana parivasha esam nitya vayuktanam yogakshemam vaha. If one surrenders to me, then I will provide whatever they lack, and I will sustain whatever they have. And this, after explaining all of these principles in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna culminates. Sarva dharman parityaja. Mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshaya sharanasaja. Abandon all varieties of braja. Dharma. And just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Nothing to fear. Fear is the primary experience of material existence because of these threefold miseries and because of the power of time. But Krishna gives a promise. If you just take shelter of me, there'll be no fear. Which means no more Ariyatvakari, Gaivakari, Bhotika, and no more influence of time affecting us. These things are still existing, but we realize Krishna lifts us up, lifts us beyond this ocean of material existence by attracting us to his loving service. Yesterday was Hanumanji's Jayanti. We were this morning offering our pranams to Hanumanji. Hanuman is a symbol of pure bhakti. Because he surrendered his heart to Ram, unconditionally, without any motivation, without any interruption, he simply wanted to please Lord Hari.
He knew everything. He knew so much about everything.
As far as his knowledge, as far as his abilities, his strength, he was all alone.
Hanumanji.
First he jumped across the ocean, 800 miles. Even the other Vanaras, the other monkeys, they couldn't jump across. And all these other monkeys are manifestations of demigods. Yes, they're not just the kind of monkeys you see in the trees in Maharashtra. These were demigods that in order to assist in Ram's Leela personally took form as monkeys in his dynasty. None of them could jump across. Only Hanuman could jump across and come back. This is power. And then when he came to Lanka, he took a small size. He was all alone. Can you imagine how fearless he was? There is no place in the world today like Lanka. Ravana. Kumbhakar, Indrajit, the most powerful Rakshasas in the world that even the demigods feared. Nobody could stand before them without being defeated. And on Sri Lanka, there were millions and millions of these Rakshasas with the same kinds of powers and strength and hatred and envy as Ravana. And Indrajit. Nobody was exactly like Kumbhakarna. You know, really, Hanuman was all alone, the only devotee in Sri Lanka. And then he manifested himself publicly. He could have just secretly given the message to Sita and then secretly jumped back. He started destroying the Ashokvan just so that he could face Ravana and all of his ministers and all of his generals and all of his armies directly. And he was standing right in front of them, tied up with a massive snake rope. And he's telling the truth to Ravana. You are envious, you are greedy, and you will be destroyed. You are a coward. If there's anything a Kshatriya doesn't like to be spoken of in public, it's being a coward. Hanuman said, in front of all of his wives and all of the generals and all of his armies, he says, you are a coward. Why didn't you fight Ram for Sita? Why you took away like a jackal takes what's meant for the lion? Ravana was so insulted. Kill this monk. Torture him. Burn his tail. That was Hanuman's fearlessness. Where did that fearlessness come from? Not his strength, not his intelligence. Because he was aware that all of his strength and all of his intelligence was all coming from Ram. And why was it coming from Ram? Because he was taking shelter. He's fearless. Yesterday was also Balaram's Rasiya. Sri Balaramji, where he wanted Dad to dance with his gopis. During this beautiful spring season of Basant on the bank of the Yamuna at a place called Ramgarh today, he began to dance with his gopis. He has his own gopis. Srila Prabhupada explains the difference between Balaram and Krishna. They are both the supreme absolute truth, the original personality of God. It's just that Balaram is the supreme servitor God, and Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Balaram is Krishna himself with the mood to serve, to facilitate, to please Krishna. He expands himself to be the abode of the Lord. He expands himself to be the clothes of the Lord, the jewels of the Lord, the slippers of the Lord, the bed of the Lord. Unbelievable. On every level, he's just serving, serving, serving. But as far as the power of Balaram and power of Krishna, the rasa power of Balaram and Krishna, Prabhupada says the difference between Balaram and Krishna is Krishna is blue like a monsoon cloud, and Balaram is white like a spring cloud. So Balaram is all powerful. It's Krishna's brother. He appeared as Lakshman, who was always immersed in the loving service of Ram. He appears as Nityananda Prabhu, who wouldn't even go out and preach until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the order, go out and preach. You and Haridas go everywhere and ask everyone to chant the holy names and worship Krishna in remembrance. So this Balaram Tattva of Nitai, of Lakshman, is the supreme absolute truth, finding the ultimate pleasure in serving Krishna, Ram, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only that, but Balaram is called the original guru because by his example, and also he is revealing the means by which all living entities can engage in the loving service of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu never said, worship me. Raja Gauranga, Kahu Gauranga. Everyone worshiped Lord Gauranga. His life, his soul was just glorifying Mahaprabhu Gauranga and bringing everyone to Gauranga. Dinahina yatka chilo harinamu tarelo tarasakshi jagai vada. When he saw the atrocities and the extent of sinful nature of Jagai and Madai, he was enthusiastic. If only I could get them to chant Krishna's name and please Lord Chaitanya, then they will taste the highest sweetness of love. That was his faith. His conviction. And it is by his mercy that the gurus come down to this world to attract us to Radha, Vrindavan Bihari's loving service. So when Balaram was with gopis at Ram Ghat, Varuna, he sent his daughter, Varuni, in the form of a nectar that flowed from the trees. And this Varuni is an ultimate beverage to give happiness. It's not like the intoxications of this world. Because the entire, whether drugs or alcohol, these things just derange our consciousness, put them in the modes of ignorance. But Varuni doesn't derange or put in the mode of ignorance. Varuni actually elevates. It puts it in such a state of transcendental pure goodness that every experience is enhanced. The pleasure of the mind, the senses, the heart, everything. So there is no such thing as real Varuni. We can call Hani Varuni and all these things. This Varuni was flowing. It was flowing. Varuni herself is a goddess. She's a heavenly celestial goddess. She's a consort of the Lord. And she's appearing in this liquid form just to increase the happiness of Balaram and his gopis. because she was offering herself with such pure, unalloyed devotion, Balaram drank. And his eyes were rolling in happiness. And in order to please his gopis, because Krishna, the devotee only wants to please Krishna, and in the ras of Braj, Krishna only wants to please his devotees. So he calls Yamuna, because he's near a tree in the forest, and he calls, Yamuna, come here, we want to have water pastimes. And Yamuna, she's seeing Balaram drinking all this baruni, and his eyes are rolling, and she just kind of is intoxicated. Where does rivers just all of a sudden change their course to go? So she just didn't do anything. So Balaramji, he took his plow, and his eyes became a little red. And he said, oh, river, you have the rebellious nature that you're not going to follow what I ask you to do. Because you are not coming to where my gopis are, I will scratch you with my plow and make you many, many, many little tiny rivers. I will pull you to where I am. If you don't come yourself, I will pull you to where I am. So Balaram put his plow and his anger, and immediately the goddess Kalindi Yamuna appeared before him with folded palms. And she surrendered. I didn't understand how serious this really was. She thought he was just kind of in a playful, intoxicated mood. But she explained, even though I may have done wrong, even though I may have disobeyed your will, still, I know that however much a person has been disobedient or independent of you, anyone who takes shelter of you, you will get your shelter. I take shelter of you. Wise his gopis went into the water and had wonderful gossip. And then when they came out, Goddess Lakshmi in one of her forms appeared, Rama, with a beautiful set of new clothes for Balaram, and wonderful garlands. And in this way, Balaramji enjoyed the full moon night in the forest of Vrindavan with gopis. This is a very important lila. Even Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, begins by telling this wonderful lila of Balaram's gopis. Because he wants to, among other wonderful reasons of revealing the sweet nectary rasas of Braj Bhumi, the power of surrender, how even the goddess Yamuna is surrendering, taking shelter in this lila. But also he wants to show who is Nityananda. The intimacy of the ras of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, is Nityananda. And how whoever takes shelter in him will be given the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narottam Das Thakur prays, Lita Padakama. At the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu are like tens and millions of full moons. The shade of his lotus feet give us relief from all the miseries from the scorching heat of material existence. And he goes on to explain, without the mercy of Nityananda, without the mercy of Balaram, nobody can properly enter into the beautiful pastimes of Radharani and Sri Krishna. And yesterday was also the Basant Ras Lila of Krishna. At Govardhan Hill, Krishna performs his Rasa Lila with his gopis and Sri Radha, Lalita, Vishakha. Jayadeva Goswami in his Gita Govinda describes some little tiny drop from the massive ocean of descriptions of Krishna's Rasa Lila at Govardhan. So, we are Govardhan Eco Village. And Radha Vrindavan Bihari appeared on that day as Basant Ras Lila at Govardhan. And also the same day that Balaram Nityananda Prabhu manifested his incredible compassion within Vrindavan Dham. See, Nityananda Prabhu is just giving compassion to anybody, everybody in this Kali Yuga of people who take shelter. But this particular Leela of Balaram, of the Ras Leela, for Pralambasura, for Denukasura, he gave their mercy to them by liberating them, you know, through ending their demoniac life. But here in this pastime we're discussing, Yamuna Devi is a great devotee, but she made some serious mistake, at least apparently. And Balaram, how much? Even though she made a mistake, because she surrendered to him, he gave her not a... He began by apparently punishing her, but it only woke her up to take shelter. And then he gave her the greatest happiness. He and his gopis allowed her to serve by performing his Rasa Lila right in the waters of her. So Balaram's great kindness to anyone who takes shelter. He gives them the Leela of Braj. It's also the appearance day of Shamananda Goswami, one of the greatest of the devotees, who was the most intimate loving friend of Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur. Hridaya Chaitanya was his guru. Jiva Goswami taught him the scriptures as a Shiksha Guru, and he lived among them in the time of the association of Lokanath Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, living in Vrindavan. And we know the story. Radharani was so eager to meet him and give him mercy that she left her own bangle in Sevakunj and Niduban and Shamananda, even though he was such a scholar. His name then was Dupi Krishna, such a scholar and such an exalted Paramahamsa. And his greatest joy, under the instruction of Jiva Goswami, with a little broom he would be on his hands and knees, just sweeping the dusty pathways of Vrajbhumi. He would do this for many hours every day. Ordinary person would think, this is, I'm a great scholar. I have better things I could do than just sweep. Any bumbi can sweep. They don't have education. But he was so great. This is Prajapuri. This is the dust of Vrindavan. This is Seva. And because he had such a taste and he was so grateful, he was feeling such happiness doing this menial service. When we're really grateful and happy to serve, then Radharani wants to... She becomes attracted. Real devotional service is we're performing our service, however high or low by material standards, doesn't mean anything. What attracts Krishna is we're so grateful and we're so happy just to serve. When we're really happy to serve, and we're really grateful to serve, and our service attracts Krishna. And Sridhartha left her bangle there just so that this is sweeping and this is beautiful fashion bangle.
He understood no human could have such a thing,
so he kept it. Then Lalita Sakhi comes and says, "My sister lost her bangle. Did you see it?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Give it to me." I said, "I want to meet your sister." So Lalita Sakhi actually transformed him into a gopi and brought her before Sridhartha. Radharani pressed that bangle on his forehead and gave special tilak and gave him a new name. Shama is Radha's name. Shamananda means one who gives pleasure to Sridhartha. And Dukhi Krishna. Dukhi means miserable. From Dukhi Krishna to Shamana. This story represents the power of even the simplest menial service to the Vaishnavas and to the Dham. When it is performed with happiness and gratitude, the happiness is the gratitude that Krishna is allowing me to do this. This is seva. This is how we make spiritual advance. It's not just by accomplishing it. It's the humility, the gratitude, and the happiness we cherish in our heart by being given the opportunity to perform our service, whatever it may be. And whatever our service may be, whether we're building temples or making garlands or worshiping the deities or distributing books or preaching or just sweeping or cleaning or cooking or washing pots, the same opportunity of attracting Sridhartha's heart is there for every one of us. Whoever we are, we just have this seva attitude. It was on that day yesterday, this beautiful festival was manifested. And Sri Sridhartha Vrindavan Vihari revealed themselves to us, to everyone who will come here, to all of India, to all of the world, to all of the universe, to all of creation. And yet, even though they have that will to deliver us out of inconceivable causeless mercy, although they're loving pastimes, the Supreme Absolute Truth enjoying the highest happiness of spiritual love. And they're right here in these two beautiful forms, these wonderful little temple, performing their intimate Vrindavan pastimes, bestowing their unlimited mercy. We should stay that way. We shouldn't just say, "Oh, we have a little deity here now." That's cheating ourselves. We appreciate who has come and why they have come and the power of the grace that they've come to give. And nothing could impede. The special feature of this festival is that Sri Sridhartha Vrindavan Vihari called for two of their loving associates sitting with us today. This grace Janani Vasudevi, this grace Anka Jambri, Holiness Bhakti Vijayapuri Maharaj, who has left this morning after brushing with the goddess. Let's pray
Yes, Chinnamas Prabhu, His Grace Mother Gandhi Prabhu, they have for over 40 years given their hearts, souls, lives to the service of Sri Sri Radhimada in Sri Mayapurta. Sangeeji, Thakurji, Thakurani Devi, serving the divine couple of Sri Sri Radhimada with their divine gopis in Sri Navadvipa. And inspiring and engaging so many thousands of people to understand the beauty of the Seva in the Lord's work of the Holy Deity. We would like to invite Chinnamas Prabhu and Kankachandri Prabhu to come and sit on this seat, speak some of their wisdom and blessings, conclude this wonderful Radha Krishna Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan. Chinnamas Prabhu, Pankajani Prabhu, please come in. This seat is big enough for both of you. Yesterday, while they're walking forward, I'll just tell you just a little glimpse. Some of you were there. When I heard all this noise, and I was thinking it was a political rally for Narendra Modi. Ooh, I'm very happy if you vote for it. I encourage you. Spread the word if you like. And then I was told, no, it's Chinnamas Prabhu, Pankajandri Prabhu with the brahmacharis in the swimming pool. So I went to the swimming pool, and they were, I don't know what they were doing. They were playing some game, it was some sort of like water cricket or something like that. Huh? Water polo. I never played cricket or polo, so I don't know. All those on horses, though. Huh? So they were, it was pretty, they were very playful, like cowherd boys. You know, because there were two teams. So then I saw the playfulness of cowherd boys, and I saw the heroism of the warriors of Kurukshetra. Kind of together. They were really fighting for that ball. I was, this is Vrindavan Leela. Cowherd boys fighting for a ball in the water. And I was told by Nitai Prabhu, that they were on opposite teams. Just like Krishna and Balaram would usually be on opposite teams. You know, like Pralambasura, Lila, Balaram was on one team as the captain, and Krishna would be on the other team. But it was easy to make a difference because Krishna's blue and Balaram's white. But in the water, because to understand the difference between Chinnamas and Pankajandri, we have to kind of be in a still place and analyze carefully. Then, if you're intimate enough, Krishna will reveal the difference. But when there's water splashing everywhere and everyone's moving so fast, looking at the ball and everything, it'd be difficult. And I was told Chinnamas Prabhu was on opposite team. And when the opposite team had the ball, Chinnamas would say, send it here, I'm Pankajandri. And of course, you know, they have to send it there, and then Pankajandri is on the other side. He's the
on the other team, he said, no, he's pretending to be me, just like Pralambasura.
They were devotees, and they were both when the opposite team. They would
call out that I am the other.
So I was thinking how sweet this is. But I was also thinking that these kinds of play of being the other person for the interest of their own, they have been practicing this since they were. They have one heart. They have two forms that look almost identical, but they have one heart. And that one heart is their love for Shiva, their love for Radha, their enthusiasm and eagerness to serve. So, to bring a close to this wonderful festival, request to will please come up and share your words of inspiration. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Vrindavan Vihari ki jai. Shri Govardhan Eko Viroji ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Forest. Shri Yamuna Rai ki jai. Balaram, once we build this Yamuna, I'm sure Balaram will come and reveal to us his blessing.